This is Catch Up on Steak.
Today we're talking about Dallas Illuminati. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Catch Up on Steak. This is episode 3, Dallas Illuminati. We are going to the Lone Star State, and I'm telling you about my adventure down there. It's going to have everything you want: sex, drug, rock and roll, JFK, conspiracy theories, Dealey Plaza, and Dallas Illuminati, Satanism, and witchcraft. You're going to love it. But first, I want to talk a little bit about podcasting. Obviously, I'm very stoked to have this going. This is my first podcast I've gotten on iTunes. It's not my first podcast. I did one back in the day with a friend of mine, probably in 2011, 2012. It was a music podcast. My friend had a studio, and we would invite bands in to play. And I still have all those files, actually, within arm's reach of me right now. So maybe I'll try to get those up online finally on, well, they were online, but up on iTunes. You know, before I had issues with the RSS feed and stuff, and, you know, it seemed like there was a lot of technical stuff that I was trying to do that at this point, you don't really have to do it anymore for yourself. Because what I'm doing right now is I'm just uploading these sound files to SoundCloud, and they have the RSS feed feature all built in. So if you want to start a podcast, it's really easy if you have GarageBand, that's what I'm using, and all you need is your artwork, 1400 pixels by 1400 pixels, your sound file, and that's it. That's pretty much it. You take the sound file from GarageBand. I opened up a podcasting template in GarageBand. You can export that podcast to iTunes, and then you upload that to SoundCloud. And if you have your settings right, you can get an RSS feed link from SoundCloud. You send that over to Apple Podcast Connect. Now, here's something that I got to throw out there, and it probably doesn't apply to a lot of people, but I was also an Apple developer, an app developer for the iPhone. So I had a developer account, and that was messing up my connection to Podcast Connect. And I talked to someone on the phone, and they found out that apparently you can't be enrolled in the developer program and also have a podcast, which is crazy. You know, sometimes these companies, the details on how they work some of this stuff out are just never worked out. The details are never ironed out and fixed and streamlined, and this is one of those cases. So I had to start a new email and start a new Apple ID, which I preferably would not have wanted to do. But actually, looking back, it's good to keep this separate. And then once I had the new Apple ID, I didn't have any trouble logging into Podcast Connect. And through there, that's where I submitted my RSS feed, and it got approved. And now, as soon as I put a new file on SoundCloud, you can go to iTunes, and it's there immediately. So it's great. And that's why I'm a little stoked, and I'm doing a lot of these quickly. Obviously, there's probably not a lot of people following me yet because I just started this week. But I figure when you go and you check out a new podcast, you don't really want to see just one episode or two episodes. You're hoping that there's a little bit there so that you know, get the feeling that it's something that's actively going on, and then there's going to be new episodes coming out. So that's kind of what I want to do. I also just kind of want to procrastinate and not have to work right now. I've been terrible this week about doing work. I work from home, I make my own hours, and I've had no motivation this week. Also because I'm trying to get a restraining order against a crazy ex-girlfriend who actually is in this story. And this is before she was always crazy, but this is before she became, well, I want to say angry, but she was always angry. This is before she became a problem. Well, actually, she was always a problem. So, this was before we broke up. All right. So, I don't think there's anything else I wanted to talk about up top. Just the little podcasting advice. If you're interested in starting a podcast, I recommend it. Let's get all our opinions out there if we can, and share as much as possible, because you never know who's going to latch onto it and who it might be meaningful to. Oh, I actually have one more disclaimer before we get started, and that is I really want to say that nothing on this podcast that I'm going to talk about is anything that's not already public knowledge. Just for the sake of my own personal safety, in case I start talking about something that someone doesn't want me to talk about, you know, like the last episode, Pizzagate, there are a lot of people who don't want people talking about that. I didn't give any new information. That's all stuff that people can easily find, and people probably would have found it on their own had they decided to go look into that. But if I am going to talk about things that aren't just easily searchable in very common resources, I will try to leave those details out so you can get a sense of what I'm talking about, and if you really look into it, or if you're someone who already knows about it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I'm not going to be shining a light on any, say, businesses or people. You know, I don't want to libel or slander anyone. I don't want anyone coming after me, and I don't want to give away any information that's going to put me in danger. So for that reason, some of the things in this next story I'm going to talk about a little vaguely, such as some of the locations. If you are a good detective, you can probably figure out what I'm talking about. And actually, you know, what I really hope is that someone who already knows about this, that lives in the town that I'm talking about and knows what's going on in law enforcement, would hopefully step up and do the right thing and try to shut down any wrongdoings. And, you know, again, it may be very hard for them to do that if there's this infiltration of government at high levels by these evildoers. But it's, you know, they don't control everything. They want to make you think that they do, but we can resist. And so, you know, that's another thing that I hope from doing this podcast is it's empowering to the right people in the right ways. All right, so enough disclaimers. Let's get down to Dallas, all right? All right, so without further ado, let's head down to Dallas. So the year was this one, 2018, and my girlfriend was meeting her friend from the East Coast who was meeting her boyfriend in Texas. And so we were flying into Dallas and then going to stay in a town 35 minutes outside of Dallas for basically a three-night bender just to hang out with her friends. So we get there, and the first day we drive into Fort Worth because we want to get some of the Texas experience. And the town that we were staying in totally, to me, could have passed as a California suburb. It was very suburban and it looked very normal. Yeah, there were a lot more pickup trucks. And but other than that, it was pretty much just a normal American suburb to me. But we wanted the cowboy experience, you know what I'm talking about? So we drove out to Fort Worth, which was an hour or so away from Dallas. On the way there, our host, who was the guy who lived in that town that we were staying in, which I'm just going to call that town. So if you hear me talk about that town, it's a town outside of Dallas. And there are a lot of towns outside of Dallas. I don't know if they all have this kind of creepy Illuminati undertone that we're going to get to later, because let me tell you, it was one of the craziest nights of my life, and I was about ready to have a nervous breakdown by the time we were done staying at this place. So we're heading into Fort Worth, which is the more cowboy town. Literally, we went and saw a place where they have a rodeo. You know, there was all these stables for cattle, But it was a cool, like, tourist destination where you could sit on some bisons and have your picture taken and walk around with open containers and drink. And there was a lot of people, you know, drinking and shopping and eating. It was a pretty cool place. I really liked it. We stopped in a couple of bars where there was some really authentic Texans playing country music, and it was pretty good. And we had a lot of fun and were very nicely welcomed by the locals. So, you know, I honestly feel like I could live out there maybe. Definitely not in Dallas or the town, that town. You know, I'd have to really do my research and make sure that that I was moving to a good town with not a high Illuminati population. But I'm sure there are a lot of those out there in Dallas. And another thing that's great is the women were so beautiful. They were so lean and American looking. And they were just awesome. You know, for someone like me, I'm kind of a weirdo. You know, I'm a kind of a weirdo out here in California that has lived in downtown areas for a long time. And a lot of people, liberal people in particular, like to push the envelope of how crazy they can get and how weird they can get and how far off the beaten path they can get, how artistic they can get, how unique they can get. And so you see that manifest in a lot of really crazy, weird ways out in the city, like in downtown LA sometimes. I lived in a warehouse, and there was like my next door neighbor rented out her place for porno shoots, and there was like a sex, phone sex operation going on where people were living and shooting porn and having porn parties and stuff like that. So I've seen a lot of weird stuff. So I'm at the point where I've seen so much weird stuff, and we've been seeing this liberal movement for so long that I've been a part of for a lot of it, that I'm just gotten to the point where normal red-blooded conservative Americans and the simple things that they do are just so refreshing to me, because I'm so tired of all the weird stuff. I love it. It's who I am. It's probably who I'm always going to be. But a part of me at this point in time is just thirsting for just normalcy, just some normalcy. And there's a lot of great normalcy out there in Texas. Eventually, who knows, it might drive me crazy, but I was just having a great time on our first day. So our host told us a little bit about the history of Dallas and Fort Worth. Now, Fort Worth is the cowboy town, the ranchers, the farmers. Dallas is the bankers. So he was saying that basically the relationship is Dallas is made up of all the bankers who came in and took all the money from Fort Worth, from the farmers. So obviously there's probably a bit of a rivalry, and they don't really like each other, possibly. Then he said not too long ago, they found a ton of oil under Fort Worth. So it was a bit of payback for Fort Worth to the Dallas people, who didn't get in on all that money after the way that they had treated Fort Worth. So you can definitely see and kind of feel a little bit of this rivalry in Dallas and Fort Worth. And that kind of also sets the scene for what Dallas is. It's number one, the first fact that we get or opinion that we get is that it's a banker town. So I definitely saw that. Let's get back to that town. So after we hung out in Fort Worth for a while, kicked it with some cowboys, took some pictures, drank some sarsaparillas, tried on cowboy hats, we headed back to that town for the night. And this is where things got really, really weird. It ended up being one of the weirdest nights of my life. It started off, we all got really stoned and went to a pizza place. And it just was so funny to me. It was like a scene in one of those movies. It reminded me of Reservoir Dogs. The scene where Tim Roth's character presses the button for the hand dryer, and all the cops are looking at him because they know he's a hippie. A hippie with a suitcase full of drugs. That's what it felt like to us. So we were kind of messed up and went into this pizza place, and we couldn't really, you know, tell exactly how to order. You know, there's sometimes different places have different systems. So we're looking at the menu, we go figure it out, we order our pizzas and beer, we sit down, and we are in the middle of this pizza place, and it's not too big, in the middle of a square room. There's a lot of squares out there, and I'll talk about that later. And the next table over is a table of cops. And my girlfriend is just, she's basically a punk, like a punk rocker punk. Back from the 80s, she's a punk. And punks don't really get along too well with cops. And she was getting really freaked out. But at one point I even said, just chill out. Like, we're not doing anything weird. And if we were, someone would tell us. I think we're cool. But she was getting freaked out about the cops. The cops were kind of looking at us, but we weren't doing anything wrong, so I wasn't worried at all. But, you know, we did look like kind of a table of stoner, druggy troublemakers that cops would be looking out for, you know, drinking and driving or doing something stupid. The couple that we were with didn't look that weird, but they were, you know, we were all kind of faded. My girlfriend, you know, she kind of looks like a rock and roll chick, you know, and I am half Mexican, so I'm dark, darker than anyone else, and I got some tattoos, and I definitely look kind of like a weirdo from California. But I wasn't worried at all. But it was funny because things were just getting more and more tense, you know, like when there was lulls in the conversation, it was just so quiet. I felt like all the other people around the sides of the room that were eating pizza were like looking at us and seeing what was going to happen. And then eventually when the cops got up and left, you could just feel the mood lighten so much. And it was funny to me because I wasn't doing anything wrong, so I wasn't worried, so I wasn't really feeding into that paranoia, but everyone else definitely was. And when they left, you know, some people started like laughing, and you know, the sound level in the room changed a lot, and the intensity dropped down. So it was kind of weird, but you know, that wasn't anything that I thought was like super weird. I thought, you know, maybe they're just a little more sketched out because it's Texas and we're weirdos from California that probably look pretty out of place. But whatever, you know, like we're visiting, we're visitors. Why should I be worried? But that was just the first weird thing. Okay, so from there we went to this place, and this place was so bizarre. And this was just the thing that really freaked me out, and it was just crazy. And I'm not going to say the name of the place. I can't give even away too many details about it, but our hosts were telling us about going to this place to eat and drink, and particularly drink. And the way he was describing it was setting off a lot of alarms in my head. I saw a lot of red flags. The way he described it, I started thinking, I think this is one of those child trafficking type of pleasure island kind of joints. I hate to use the P word. I don't want to say that all the time on every episode. But you know, this is like a kiddie place where men could go and have their way with. I don't even want to say it. This stuff is just so bad. I don't want to keep saying it. But if you know, if you've been listening, you probably know what I'm talking about. This Pizzagate type stuff. This sounded like one of those kind of places where people would go to do that kind of thing. And like, for example, one of the things that he said was after, gosh, and I don't want to give too much away, but this is just a weird detail. This would be weird for any place. This would be weird for anyone to say. He said after 10 p.m., they take all the kids downstairs. That's the policy at this place. And it's just so weird. It's just a weird thing to say, a weird thing to do. It's a weird place. Now, this place, we got there, and sure enough, it was a bizarre place. It was like a very themed out restaurant, very themed, you know, where there's like one of those restaurants where you everywhere you look, there's some kind of crazy thing going on, like a guitar hanging on the wall or a train set. It was very themed out, very dark but colorful. And there was an you go in and there's like a lobby, there's a ground floor, and then there was an upstairs. And the weird thing was is it's a place for families, but it's also a place where adults go to drink. And sometimes that's a cool, you know, that works out fine. But other times it those two things brushing up against each other are just causing friction. And in this case, I think it is. If you're an adult that wants to just go there and drink and have a good time, or if you're a family that just wants to go and do family stuff, the way that the family stuff and the adult stuff is brushing up against each other is not right here. It was really messed up. And he was describing me this place, and I was thinking, I think this is one of those joints, one of those kind of places that I've been reading about or imagining would go down, learning about all this horrible stuff in occultism and Satanism and Freemasonry and ritualistic abuse and child abuse. It sounds like one of those places to me, but I just, sometimes the curiosity killed the cat. I was like, he's offering for us to go to this place. There's a lot of red flags. I think I know what it is, but I'm just going to go anyway to see if I'm right, because I wanted to be wrong, you know? I wanted to not be right about this. I wanted to just be making it up and just discover I had gone a little bit far down the paranoia conspiracy theory hole. But when I got there, that's not what I found at all. I walk in, and there's some more details that I want to disclose, but I don't want to really, you know, nail down what and where this place is. But let's say this. The building is weird to begin with. The building is set up like a school, like an elementary school. I'll say that. And on the sign, you see that rainbow. And I haven't talked about the rainbow yet, so let's just go ahead and talk about the rainbow now. So the rainbow is a hardcore Luciferian symbol that they like to use. Now, a lot of people like to use the symbol of the rainbow. The rainbow is a beautiful thing. The rainbow is the symbol of the state of Hawaii. Rainbows are used to show gay pride, which is okay if that's working for you and that's how you want to show it. Now, this satanic rainbow lately I've seen is almost always shown in pastel colors. It's a pastel rainbow. So if you see a pastel rainbow, chances are it's a reference to this Luciferian belief. And the Luciferian belief is that the rainbow is a bridge between man and Lucifer. And if you think about it, it's really weird. I've been planning on actually talking about this a little bit more, the fifth dimensions and certain phenomenons that we see. Now, think about light. Light is how we perceive our world and kind of gauge time, really, in one way, maybe. Light is really important. You know, they talk about the light of God, which I've been wondering, like, what could that be in relation to the sun, possibly. But light is something that has, I believe, that some kind of spiritual importance, and I don't know what it is, but I have an idea that it's there. Now, when light is refracted, it's almost like you're into a rainbow. It's almost like you're splitting the dimension that we perceive into more dimensions and allowing space in there. And that could be possibly some way that spirits could travel. I don't know. I could just be completely making this up, because the thing is, I don't really understand fully the belief and the significance of the rainbow to Luciferians and Illuminati. But I've read that it is there, and I've seen it used a lot. For example, in Eyes Wide Shut, you'll see it used by Stanley Kubrick. He puts the rainbow symbol over the tuxedo rental place or the mask and costume rental place. One thing that's really crazy is costume rental places, you'll see them show up right across the street from temples, from Masonic temples. I think in the one in the movie, I think there is that's a reference to one in New York, I believe. And you'll also see it, you'll see it a few times in that movie, and then you'll also see it in Kesha, I believe, is, and a lot of music videos, which I'll do a whole episode on music videos, but they're very, the music industry is very much satanic and Illuminati based. And where were some other things I've seen it? Just all over, in commercials and in music art. You'll the Lady Gaga, 5'2". I think a rainbow's coming out of her eye. You know, they like the eye, and they like showing one eye or showing one eye accented in some way, like doing an okay symbol around the eye. And the pastel rainbow. So there was a rainbow on this building. We go in, dark but with colored lights. The first thing I saw when I walked in there was a girl. I don't know how old she was. Couldn't have been older than 12, maybe even younger. And she was wearing a lot of makeup and dressed up. And she gave me a look, and it was such a sexual look. It was really weird. And there were girls being, and I can't say this is weird either. Well, it is weird, but I just can't say that there's anything out of place by it. But it just seemed weird. There were lines of girls being led around by like an usher, a woman. And they were all dressed up. Like some of them were like in gymnastics clothes. And it, you know, I can't say. Maybe that was their mother or their guardian or their aunt, and they were just walking around the restaurant. But it also looked really weird to me. Like, it was like they were parading around like a sushi boat, their entree choices. And when you think about it like that, it was very sick. And this place was a very sick place. That was just the feeling I got. And again, this is tons of just circumstantial evidence. There's nothing hard about it. I didn't really see anything wrong there, but I got this vibe and it was really weird. And so we go up the stairs and there's these two people sitting at the bar, and the woman is looking around with just the widest, most shocked eyes I've ever seen. And I've seen this before. I believe that this is a result of satanic ritual abuse. Someone who has seen so much, possibly from such a young age, that they get this look in their eyes where their eyes are just like glued open so wide. And there's this GIF on Twitter. If you go to Twitter currently and search for bloody in GIFs, you scroll down and there's one that I'm pretty sure it's a square GIF. And it's this baby, and his face is covered in blood, and he's just got his head tilted to the side, and his eyes are just open so wide like this, with blood dripping from his face. And then it pans over to the other baby, and the other baby is crying. And then it pans over to him, and he's just got he's just zombified and got blood dripping down his face. Now, I haven't talked about this, and I was planning on talking about it a lot more, but one thing that I've heard repeated is they, from very young age, subject children to such horrific violence that it causes their mind to split, and they develop multiple personalities and become schizophrenic. And they've also claimed that some people have claimed that this is how you can compartmentalize information as well. So one personality is able to deal with and remember the horrific events, while another personality ignores it completely and does not have access to that information because they've shut it off so hard and tried to get away from it mentally so hard that they've split and compartmentalized their brain and made another complete personality that has no knowledge of this horrific stuff. And also, I think it's really weird how there's two babies, one, and they're both having different reactions. It's almost like this one is the strong one that will become a Satanist, and this crying one over here is one that will become a human sacrifice. And I believe, I mean, I have no proof for this, but that woman that I saw at the bar was probably one of these babies that grew up seeing this stuff, and she just seemed so scared. She wasn't saying anything that would indicate she was scared. She wasn't moving a lot in any weird ways. She wasn't jittery or anything, but she was just looking around, and her eyeballs were so freaking wide. Now, there was muscle up there. There was this really shady Mexican dude who was just muscle. You could tell he wasn't like looking like professional security. He was just loitering around, and he was muscle. It was just very clear. Just the way that he presented himself and stayed kind of in the shadows, was kind of talking to some people, appeared to basically work there because he was, you know, very comfortable with the place and not just there to eat or drink, but not, you know, acting like a normal security guard. He wasn't a normal security guard. He was muscle. This place was shady. The next thing that was super shady was the way that these bartenders acted. And it was funny that they both looked pretty much the same. They were both kind of tall, not too tall, but scrawny white guys with, you know, big Adam's apples and beards and long ponytail hairs. And they were both so skittish. It was really weird, and you could just pick up on it. They were just like kind of, they were the ones that were kind of like looking around all weird and jittery and kind of sketched out. And I feel like it's probably because those guys have probably gotten their feet wet in some of this stuff maybe, or at least knows what's going on. And they're kind of scared for their safety and their lives and if someone's going to find out, if they're going to go to jail, if the place is going to be taken down, if someone's going to take them out. You never know. So that was really, really weird as well. We went over to our own kind of nook, and this place is a big place. Again, it's built like in a old elementary school possibly, and has a lot of rooms and a lot of space and a lot of weird kind of architecture built into the buildings. And it's supposed to be very kind of like cartoony and fantastical. They have waiters that dress up as movie characters. They also have some weird things that they do. I saw in some videos, like for example, when a kid asks where the restroom is, they broadcast on the PA, "This kid's going to the bathroom. This kid's going to the bathroom." And, you know, they try to pass it off as a joke. But in this town, where there's this heavy child abuse and child preying on children kind of vibe, that's a weird thing. They're saying, "Attention all child abusers and sexual child molesters. There is some prey in the bathroom right now. It might be a good time for you to go to the bathroom." And I think a lot of bad things happen in bathrooms and behind closed doors with a lot of these people. I think that's probably their favorite place. It's so horrible. And I saw a lot of evidence of that in this town and in Dallas. And it's really, really weird. So another thing was, I saw that there was a curtain by where we were hanging out. Oh, also by where we were hanging out, there was a cage. There was a jail cell in this bar where you could... Oh, it's so creepy thinking about it. And this just gets worse and worse as the night goes on, to the point where I was ready to have a nervous breakdown. But think about the vibe. Think about how creepy it is to have a place like this, a dark, creepy place where you have all these children and a jail cell, and what you could do with that. And it's right next to a stage. Oh, God, it's so creepy. The stage was behind a curtain, and I pulled back the curtain to see what was going on there. There was a stage and maybe about 20 chairs set up, and on the other side, there was a Mexican guy in a black cowboy hat just standing there with his cowboy boots. Looked pretty sketchy. He looked like something out of True Detective season 2. And he saw me and I saw him, and I just was like, oh, sorry, and put the curtain back. And then we ordered and ate and drank for a little while, and the girls danced and stuff. And I was like, okay, I think we're safe. Just gonna chill here, have a couple drinks, and then get the hell out of here. Now, I know that our host knew what was going on, and I don't know if he's the kind of guy who would be into this stuff, but he at least understood what was going on, because at two points he made pedophile jokes, which I think he picked up on the fact that I knew what was going on, and so the first one was to just lighten the mood, like, and ridicule that kind of behavior and make a joke about that kind of behavior and about the place that we were in, and to say that he is aware of it, but he's not a part of it, possibly, and he's just making fun of it. And then he made another joke about it, and I was like, oh, God, we are in one of those places. This is so weird. We're in one of those places. And so when we were leaving, or at one point when I was going to the bar, yeah, before we were leaving, I heard one of the bartenders on the walkie-talkie say, three fried cheese sticks all day. Now, I feel like this is a code, because that's not a menu item. Three fried cheese sticks, that's just not on there. The cheese sticks, it comes in a gigantic basket. And all day, it's night. It's nighttime. And I mean, that could be, it could be an order, but he's saying it on a walkie-talkie to someone who's not in the room. Don't they usually just go back and either punch in behind the bar to a computer, or the waiter writes down the order and then passes it off to the cooks? I mean, it's not completely far-fetched that they would have bartenders ordering on a walkie-talkie to the kitchen, but it just seemed weird. And three fried cheese sticks all day, that's not something that someone's ordering. Three fried cheese sticks. They have baskets of cheese sticks that come with like 10 or 12 or 8 or 5, but not three. I think it might have been a code to say the three people that I was with were chill. They were fried cheese sticks. They're not looking around and poking around all day. They're totally cool. But there was four of us. I was the one that was poking around. So it really kind of weirded me out that he said that. So I repeated it loud so he could hear on the way out. But I just was on my way out. I didn't even make eye contact with him. I just didn't even want to see it. I just wanted to get out of there. As we were heading out, that muscle guy was hanging out by the door ready for us. And we get out there and I'm kind of freaking out. I'm just like freaked out because I'm in another place. I don't know where I am. I don't really have a lot of transportation. And we got to walk, and I'm really close to this pedophile hangout. And I want to tell my girlfriend, but she is just so drunk and like belligerent and just like falling over and hanging out with her friend and doesn't want to hear it. So I can't really tell her. So I just want to get her away. So I'm trying to just shoo her away from this building and these people, away from the pedophile hangout. So we're trying to walk away, and I'm just like, thank God I'm out of there. Let's just get away. The first sign we pass walking away from this building was a hand. It was a sign in the shape of a palm facing you with the Illuminati eye in the middle of the hand. And I was like, ah, oh my God, it's everywhere. And sure enough, it was everywhere, especially in Dallas and Deep Ellum. The symbolism is just plastered all over the walls, everywhere, absolutely everywhere. And I'll get to a bunch of more details where I saw it and heard about it. So we're trying to get away. The next place has Illuminati symbolism on it. Finally, we get away from there. We go to dueling piano karaoke bar. We get in there. The place is packed, like really packed. Like there's hardly any standing room. Like it was almost completely at capacity. It was really hard to move around and even get to the bar. Once we got to the bar, it wasn't too hard to get a drink because everyone already had drinks, it seems like. And there was a front area where there was probably waitresses going to that area. And that was in front of the stage. And so we were hanging out there for a little while. It was cool for a little while. But you know what was really weird to me at this point was they got all these women up on stage and they were telling them to do some kind of dance or moves or some kind of everyone clap your hands kind of thing. And when the one girl couldn't do it, the piano player guy got really stern with her, and he was like, no, that's not what you do. You know how to do this. And the way that it was set up, it was, and they were talking and the vibe, it really was really weird to me. It reminded me, like, it felt like these people here have ritualistic experience. That was the feeling. And then my girlfriend started, we were trying to get some space, and we kind of went to the front area, which was kind of borderline. I don't know if we should have been standing there. And she was drunk and dancing, and she started falling into tables. And that was when I was like, oh my God, this bitch is going to get me killed, because we're in this weird hostile environment, and I'm the guy who is, I'm not a very tall or big guy, and I'm brown, and I don't look like anyone else here. I look like a weirdo from California. She's going to cause some shit, and I'm going to be the one that gets ended up going missing. So I was freaking out. At that point, I was like, we got to get out of here. We're going back to the hotel, and I'm trying to pull her away, and she doesn't understand what's going on. She doesn't understand any of this stuff. She didn't pick up on any of the stuff that I'm talking about, because she was just drunk and oblivious and just wanted to have a good time, doesn't look for this kind of stuff. And she was, you know, very reluctant and belligerent, but I managed to get us back to the hotel room after she's freaking out. She passes out drunk, and then more crazy stuff happens. So we were in one of those conjoined rooms, and with a door on the wall that led to the other room. Now, I could hear a lot of stuff coming through this door, and it sounded like first there was a woman that went in with two kids, at least one woman. And man, I even have this stuff recorded on my phone. Maybe I'll play some of that stuff. That would be pretty intense. I think I will. I haven't listened to it since this night, and I really didn't want to, but maybe I deleted it. I don't know. Or maybe I didn't. Maybe I kept it as evidence. I'm going to look through it in just a second. But I ended up getting so freaked out that I took my phone and put it on record, and I put it on the ground right by the door. So this is what freaked me out. At first, I heard it sounded like an Indian woman going in there. She had two kids. And I knew there were kids because, you know, kids make a lot of kid noise. They don't shut up. They were talking a lot loudly. At one point, they were like, yay, or whatever. And someone came in, and it sounded like they were celebrating like a birthday or something. The woman had the kids sing. And then these men were coming in, and I was getting really freaked out because I didn't know what was going on with these kids. And the woman was talking about how they had plans to go to all these other cities. Like, she told the kids, we're going to some other city tomorrow morning or something. And I was starting to get freaked out, like, oh my God, what's going on with these kids that are being flying all over the place? And it could just be just a normal thing. Maybe they're traveling for any other reason. But in my head at the time, with everything going on and the vibe of this town, I was worried about human trafficking and sex trafficking, and I was just starting to freak out and get really, really paranoid. And so I was listening in and monitoring these people across the room, and these men were going in and out and taking the kids in and out. And I just thought it was weird also because it was really late at night. It was like probably at least 11:30 or later. And the thing that finally set me off was I heard the woman say HIV, like a question. And one of the men said, no, 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 no. And then she said it again, HIV. And the other man was like, no, 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 no. And at that point, I freaked out because at that point, I knew she was a prostitute and they were going to have sex with her for money, or even the kids. And that's what I was really worried about. So I freaked out and I tried to wake my girlfriend up, and I was like, there's some shit going down in the next room. And they're going to like rape these 11-year-olds or something. And my girlfriend did not understand what was going on. She was very drunk and belligerent. She just got up and banged on the door and was like, hey, hey, is anyone going to have any sex with any 11-year-old kids in there? And I was like, oh my God, Jesus. Well, at least they know we're onto them now. So, and then she just passed back out. And then they sent security over. And I can't remember, at one point I might have called security on my own, but security came to the door and he's like, what's going on? And I was like, so cracked out of my mind. I was like, dude, there might be, I don't know what's going on, but there might be some hardcore like human trafficking going on in the next room and whatever. So he knocked on the door and kind of at least interrogated them a little bit or checked up on what was going on. And honestly, I don't know what I should have done or could have done, but I know, and I don't know where those kids went, but I didn't hear from the kids again. You know, they could have taken them to another room. I hope that they were under surveillance. I hope nothing bad happened to them. Hopefully it was just a prostitute who had a couple kids and these guys were having sex with a prostitute. Nothing bad happened to those kids, but I don't really know. Okay, I'm going to play a little clip from that. I'm going to look for that audio recording and I'm going to play a clip from it if I have it. Here we go.
Yeah, this is 3:26. I was just wondering if you can send someone over to the room right next to us. We're hearing, you know, some children over there, and there was two men that just went in there. It just seems kind of shady. Could you send someone over there and just check? Thank you. It's a room right next to 3:26. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, now I admit that this could have been a major overreaction, but you kind of heard how freaked out I was. And remember, this is right after coming off of all this crazy Illuminati stuff and being in a place that is like a pedophile hangout. And when I heard the woman and the man coming in and the kids and the woman saying, we got to go back to Chicago, that was when I just freaked out and thought, this is a human trafficking thing. I know it might totally not have been, but I was just thinking better safe than sorry. I'm so freaked out at this point, I'd rather just be safe and just harmlessly harass these people for no reason, just to be safe, rather than have to listen to more child abuse, this which is already on my mind, going on in the next room. This is just so loud and so clear. I just needed to try to diffuse the situation. So that's what I did. And this next part validates my point. In this next part, you'll hear, and I'm going to play it twice, the woman says HIV, and the guys say no, 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 no. She says it again. The next guy says no, 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 no. So that's how I knew that she was a prostitute, and I just didn't want these kids involved, and I was so freaked out at this point. So here it is. Listen to that part. Okay, so I know that track is really muffled, so I'm going to try to mess with the audio, and I'm going to play it again. Here it is. I don't know, was that it? Maybe I was too paranoid. Maybe I'd just gone off the deep end and I was totally wrong about this situation. I'm going to keep listening to what I have and see how it goes and see what else I want to share with you. Okay.
Guys, I'm going to sleep, okay?
Tomorrow morning, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah, see you tomorrow.
I'm going to go and clean this
chair. No, I'll
text you.
Sure,
sure.
Papa,
okay, this is what's really weird and freaks me out. So the woman brought the children into the room, and now she's saying, I'm going to bed, I'll see you later, and the kids go away with these other men. It really freaks me out, and I hope it's not what I think it is. Maybe this is just a story of me being overly paranoid, but let's get through this. Let's get to the other side.
दो दिन में प्रासा तुमको दो बन मछलेंगे बच्चे हैं
पानी का बॉटल दूध बना के
Okay, was I just harassing a random family just because they were speaking another language? I don't know. Maybe I was completely in the wrong here. But at this point, the security guard comes and talks to them, and I'm waiting on the other side of the hall. I don't think I really get any audio of me actually talking to the security guard. But after that, the couple in the next room stayed quiet. I heard the guy say, let's just try to get some sleep. And I definitely also heard them banging, not very loudly. But maybe I was just messing with some people. But here's the point. And, I'm sorry if that's the case. But the point is, it's because of the paranoia and the stress that this town put on me, this Illuminati and Satanism and stuff, it stressed me out to the point where I was just whacked out of my mind. And that was actually, I had three recordings. I think that's the second to last one that we were just playing clips from. And I don't think there was anything in the last one. But the first one actually has the scene where my girlfriend gets up and bangs on the door and you can hear us fighting. And I'll play a little bit of that and make some commentary. But basically, this is just what happens when you're stressed out by this Illuminati culture and when it's really close by you and around you and you're aware of it. It can really freak you out and drive you just insane.
That we can't talk, because I will not accept somebody calling me those words.
If someone's raping a 12-year-old, and then
everybody's raping a 12-year-old, like Max or Brian, you called me an idiot, and a fucking retard, and a stupid.
I called security. I called full sales of security.
Just get away from me.
I called full sales of security.
I don't want people calling me that shit.
Okay, so you can't
drop
any
of
stuff.
Nobody who cares about anybody can call them
names.
Even
12-year-olds.
Doesn't matter. Even 12-year-olds. No 12-year-olds is getting raped here, Brian. The only bad thing that's happening is you calling somebody you supposedly care about stupid and retarded and an idiot.
There's not. So
just get away from me, dude.
So there's not kids. There's not kids in the next room?
There's no kids in the next room, Brian. Don't try to even over-dramatize it. You are being mean.
Oh, so it doesn't matter that I'm being mean when there's
kids? It matters that you're being mean. Yes, it does matter. There's no kids in the next room, Brian.
Then why don't you bang on the door?
I'll bang on the door.
Please.
I'll bang on the door. I'll say, is there kids getting raped there?
Please do that. Not that one, the other one. That one, yes. That one.
Is anybody getting raped in there? Is any 12-year-old getting raped in there?
Thank you.
No, nobody's saying anything.
You don't hear any kids?
No, I don't hear any fucking kids getting raped next door, Brian. Sorry, don't hear it.
Why don't you put your...
No, don't hear it.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you open the door, please? What's going on?
Hey, we're just a little worried with, you know, what's going on in and out of here.
Okay, what's going on?
There's kids going in, there's people with going in with kids.
Okay.
You know, we hear them talking about changing. It's kind of weird.
Changing what?
The kids.
Like changing diapers?
I don't know.
Okay. Did you, like, knock on the door, slam on the door at all?
Some men going in and out of there.
Okay. Did you go knock on the door, slam on the door, anything like that?
She knocked on the door.
Okay.
I'm just worried, you know, like a human trafficking type of thing.
Okay. Well, I will check into it, but can you refrain from contacting anyone from over here?
Yeah, sure.
All right, thank you.
Man, that was hard for me to listen to and relive. Was I just harassing some random people? I don't know. Was I making the right decision? I don't know. Was it maybe just an aunt who had brought some kids and they went with their real father and she stayed with her husband? It could have been something like that, but I don't know. And I was freaking out. And I apologize, you know, to my girlfriend and also to the listeners. I, you know, was kind of being an asshole. Because I was freaking out and my girlfriend was drunk and couldn't comprehend the situation, and I just needed someone to be a sounding board to bounce these ideas off of, and she was just so drunk and belligerent and did not see what was going on throughout the day. Remember, we had just come from the crazy interaction with the cops at the pizza place, the really insane pedophile hangout where I didn't feel safe, and then the dueling piano bar where she was falling over into tables and I was afraid I was going to get killed. So I was really freaked out, and I did try to snap her out of her drunkenness by yelling at her a little bit. Well, not really yelling, but saying, you know, shut up, and saying some things that she didn't like to be called. And I thought she wouldn't even remember it because she just has this memory that lasts 30 seconds when she gets so wasted. And it did not help the situation at all. A person like that, I don't know if there's any way to communicate with them, really. I don't know if she was going to be any help. And calling them names is just, they just react in the wrong way. And it just made the situation, it didn't help me in any way. So I got to apologize for that. And just, who knows? Who knows what happened? But the point is, I was so freaked out because of all the stuff and just the intense, weird vibe in this town. So that was such a stressful night. It was one of the weirdest nights of my life, and I apologize if I was just reacting to my feelings of paranoia in ways that was unfair and harassment to other people. But that's just, it just happens sometimes when you're stressed out like that. You got to be careful of it, but, you know, none of us are perfect people, and we all make mistakes. And so that's something that I hope I wasn't doing the wrong thing. And if I was, I hope forgiveness. And I hope that those people, if I was just harassing them, have some good karma and some good life. And I hope they got a good flight. But who knows? They might have been part of that underworld. They might have been part of the underworld. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break and then come back with the next day and talk more about Dallas Illuminati, JFK, Dealey Plaza, and the JFK Museum. We should call it the JFK Conspiracy Museum because that's what it is. I'll be right back. Okay, so the next day we decided to go to downtown Dallas by ourselves because we needed some time away from our hosts to just chill. And we wanted to take in the city, see how the city was, the downtown area, how it differed from our downtown. You know, a lot of times downtown areas will be kind of empty on the weekends because downtown is usually the financial area. Financial people go in for work and then go back home to the suburbs at night and don't go back in on the weekends. And downtown Dallas was no different. It was a little bit empty it was a Saturday, I believe. And so we went in there, And going into Dallas, I honestly wasn't thinking about the JFK Assassination Museum. I was pretty on the fence as to whether I even wanted to go or not, because I have been down the paranoia rabbit hole, and I've been down the spiral, and I know how I am, and I thought going there might set me off and might make me even more paranoid and conspiratorial than I already was. So I was kind of on the fence. I was kind of like, I'll take it or leave it. I don't really know if I want to go. And we take a lift into downtown Dallas. It took about 35 minutes. And we are driving, and we drove past Dealey Plaza on the opposite side of where JFK was shot. And I saw it pass by, and I was like, oh, shit, there it is. There's the grassy knoll. And, of course, I've seen so many JFK assassination documentaries. I just immediately recognized it, and I couldn't believe it. And then we passed by the JFK statue monument, which is really weird, which I'll talk about later. The whole thing is weird. And we went into Dallas and a farmer's market, me and my girlfriend, got some good food, definitely saw some Illuminati symbols. So here's the thing. We went to Dallas, and we went to a really cool area right outside of Dallas, bordering Dallas, downtown, the downtown Dallas area, called Deep Elm. Elm is a type of wood, I believe, so the deep woods. And it was a really awesome place. There were a lot of bars, two-story bars, indoor-outdoor bars, a lot of music venues. We went to this one really cool bar and saw a lot of death metal bands. It was really cool. Saw just so many great musicians, and there's so many cool restaurants and little food stops and bars and stuff. And we'll get back to it. But first, I want to talk about the symbols that you see. And we saw them everywhere. So you've probably seen these a lot too, and this might be really, really obvious, but let's just go through some of them. Obviously, there's the pyramid and the all-seeing eye. There is the hand symbol with the eye on the hand. Also, Satanism, the biggest symbol is the pentagram, right? And this pentagram is one where one of the points directly down. And this is significant because what you're doing when you are worshiping yourself rather than worshiping God, instead of sending your spiritual power up to God, you are trying to harness and funnel all the power of the universe and the evil spirits and the devil to yourself and just try to make yourself bigger and more powerful. And so the V at the center of the pentagram is a vortex pulling power in. And you'll see the V a lot of times in satanic things. And then also Satanists are very into inversion, flipping things upside down, doing things backwards or talking backwards or writing backwards stuff and flipped stuff. So if the V is significant, then the A also is significant sometimes. The A can be the upside down V. The A can be the shape of the pyramid. So these V's, A's, pyramid symbols, all seeing eyes, you see them everywhere in Dallas and Deep Elm. And you'll see them on street signs. You'll see them on advertisements for businesses. And they're shameless about it. They want to be, some people are really into being accepted by the Illuminati. They want to be an elite. They want to be up there. They want to be high class. They want to be in the club, in the secret society. That's something that really gets a lot of people off. And in Dallas, they're not ashamed to show it at all. So you'll see those symbols. Also, when we were riding around in a cab on the radio, we heard an advertisement for a dance club, and the advertisement was something like, "Where the elite go to party." They want to be in this high-rise building at an elite exclusive club. They want to be in the elite exclusive club. This is a town of bankers, remember. The bankers, the rich, forgive me, but historically the rich white men of Texas, these are the old creepy robe-wearing white guys that get off on the ancient mystery religions of Babylon and human sacrifice and worshiping the devil and turning away from God, and their new God is money or Lucifer, who will give them power and money. And so it's reflected a lot of times in their culture and their art. Another thing is, of course, these human sacrificers, they're cannibals, and they're obsessed with Imagine if you killed someone and ate them. That would give you an incredible high, especially if, you know, we've heard a lot of references to the adrenal gland, the adrenal gland, adrenochrome, which is apparently the drug that is produced in the human body that you can only get from a dead body, a recently deceased body, I believe. And this would make you incredibly high, like on adrenaline, you know, so you would be up on that adrenaline, and getting off on overpowering someone, violence, doing something that is just so morally bad, not only illegal, but we know that it's bad, killing someone in violent blood, brutally murdering someone for the pleasure of it, just for the release, that would definitely get you really high. And so you see a lot of references to cannibalism. There was a bar where the front of the bar was a man laughing with his mouth open, and it was a big painting where the people were then, real people inside the bar were then in the mouth of this guy as his eyes, the eyes will start to point both outward, like he's just high and drunk off of adrenaline. And so you'll see that kind of artwork and stuff all over. We saw tons of pyramids, tons of all-seeing eyes, tons of businesses where the V was very pronounced, or the A was very pronounced, or the V or the A was red, because human sacrifice, blood red. There was a building called Ascension, you know, ascending. You know, there's a lot of theories about what the Illuminati want to do, possibly ascend, definitely in ascend in power, ascend up the pyramid, but also maybe ascend to another form of being, or ascend off of this planet to a breakaway civilization. Who knows? That's all pretty far out there, but we saw a lot of those symbols. So finally we had some drinks, we'd calmed down from the night before, we had made up and we were feeling good and just trying to be positive and get rid of those negative vibes. And I realized we're not that far from Dealey Plaza. Let's start walking down there. And we were on the street that JFK, his motorcade, rode down. And I don't know if this is weird or not, if it was common at the time, but I think it's kind of weird that he was riding around in a convertible down this street, and there are a million places he could have been sniped from. It seemed so unsafe for him to be riding down in a convertible like that, just through all these buildings on this main street and to Dealey Plaza. So we finally get to Dealey Plaza, and it's pretty mind-blowing. It looks exactly like it does in all the documentaries. I knew where everything was. I walked over to the grassy knoll, was able to stand in the spot where Zapruder took his film, and it was just amazing. It really was. I got to walk over to the wooden fence, which hasn't, I believe it's the same wooden fence, where apparently they saw a puff of smoke, and there was possibly that shooter up there behind that wooden fence on the grassy knoll. And we walked around, and it was a little weird because we were walking around the building, and immediately a security guard came up and asked us what we were doing. As if they had already been watching us. It was kind of strange, but we asked him about the JFK Museum and decided to go in. We went in, and I was pretty shocked because I thought that this museum would only talk about the official story. But there was so much about actual conspiracy theories, and they weren't afraid to hide it. You go in, and it's very interesting. It talks about, first, you know, it kind of brings you up to speed on JFK, his presidency, who he was to the American people, the politics at the time, the social issues at the time, all of that stuff. It shows a lot of photos and video, documentaries, memorabilia, and that kind of stuff. And then it gets to the day of the assassination and shows him on his motorcade and going through Dallas. And finally, you get to the spot where Lee Harvey Oswald shot from in the official story. I believe it's the 7th floor of the Book Depository in Dallas. And you, for some reason, the actual spot is kind of walled off, but you get to look from the windows right next to that spot. Some people say no way. Some people say there's a tree in the way. I believe that tree was a lot smaller on the day of the event and probably not blocking quite as much. I think it's possible that someone could have shot JFK from that window based on the distance and the view. I definitely couldn't have done it. I'm a terrible shot, but maybe an expert marksman could have done it. I think you'd have to be pretty darn good to hit a moving target from that spot and from that vantage point. But it's possible. It's definitely possible. Then after you get past that point, it starts talking about the investigations and the conspiracy theories. And it's really interesting because they talk about all the conspiracy theories. They talk about all the possible things that could have happened, all the things that people believed, and everything that went on after that. And it was really weird and suspicious, very, very suspicious. They even talked about the Warren Commission and how there were all these trials and stuff like that about the controversy surrounding, you know, the magic bullet and whether or not it was possible for there to be one shooter. My opinion is there probably was more than one shooter. And I've seen a documentary that was more recent that had new footage because some people were really hung up on the fact that his head goes forward and, or, well, it goes back. It goes forward and back, or, you know, about the direction of his head upon impact. And some people think that his driver turned around and shot him. I don't think that's really the case. They showed from another angle in this newer documentary how his head moved, and they were saying that his head moved down because that was from the actual impact of the bullet, and then kind of rubber banded snap back up, which is, I don't know, it kind of makes sense that if you're leaning down, you're hit by something and you're sitting up, then you would retract back. And they showed that the blood splatter was in front, which is where it would be, and it kind of made sense from this other angle that the headshot did come from behind. But there was a shot through his neck at first, and I don't know if that shot really came from the same place. There's definitely a lot of controversy about how many shots were fired, and in Dealey Plaza, I could definitely imagine a lot of sound being bounced around, making that really confusing. But walking away from the JFK Museum, seeing the videos over and over, being at the place, kind of getting the vibe from Dallas, I kind of walked away thinking, yeah, there's no way that was just one person who is involved in that. There had to have been more than just one person involved in that. And thinking about it now, I kind of think the whole town might have been involved, the entire town. Obviously, not every single person in Dallas, but to pull something like that off, to cover it up, to coordinate it, and to have it all kind of tied up in the bow where the suspect gets killed before they can do an investigation, the body gets taken away. There's so much that indicates a cover-up. The result, remember how many times I've already talked about power, the resulting power shift from that event shows who profited the most and who could possibly be involved and behind it. And the JFK movie by Oliver Stone is a really great one. And that also gets into the gay mafia, even though I'm not sure that if that's what they call it. But Tommy Lee Jones and Joe Pesci's character in that movie are gay mafia types. Those are the types that were talked about in Douglas Hagman's Stained in Blood book. So I walked away from there definitely thinking, just, you kind of shake, at least me, I walked away kind of shaking my head like, yeah, there's no way. There's no way it was just one person. With JFK possibly being shot multiple times, we think that he was shot first through the neck, because you can see in the video him holding his neck. That was a second or two before he got shot in the head. And I highly doubt that that bullet came from Lee Harvey Oswald in the 7th floor. It's just really, really crazy. I heard a lot of other conspiracy stuff about it. You can go on and on and on. The man with the umbrellas. It could have been a whole big coordinated thing, and I think it was probably coordinated between multiple groups. And Dallas, the Illuminati in Dallas, and the bankers in Dallas, and just the whole corrupt town. And I want to play a little clip real quick. I'm going to have to go grab it of and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do this, but I'm pretty sure it is. It's on YouTube. I don't know if it's free, open source. Is this a documentary? I'm just going to play it. Here it is.
Kennedy. I love talking about the Kennedy assassination because to me it's a great example of a totalitarian government's ability to, you know, manage information and thus keep us in the dark any way they do. Oh, sorry, wrong meeting. shit. That's the meeting we're having tomorrow at the docks. I love talking about Kennedy. I was just down in Dallas, Texas. You know, you can go down there and to Dealey Plaza where Kennedy was assassinated. And you can actually go to the sixth floor of the School Book Depository. It's a museum called the Assassination Museum. I think named that after the assassination. I can't be too sure of the chronology here, but anyway, they have the window set up to look exactly like it did on that day. And it's really accurate, you know, because Oswald's not in it. Yeah, so. Wow. Painstaking accuracy, you know. It's true. It's called the sniper's nest. It's glassed in. It's got the boxes sitting there. And you can't actually get to the window itself. And the reason they did that, of course, they didn't want thousands of American tourists getting there each year going, no fucking way! I can't even see the road! Shit, they're lying to us! Fuck! Where are they? There's no fucking way! Not unless Oswald was hanging by his toes, upside down from the ledge. Either that or some pigeons grabbed onto him, flew him over the motorcade. Surely someone would have seen that. You know, there was rumors of anti-Castro pigeons seen drinking in bars. Someone overheard them saying, coo, coo.
I really love that joke. That's Bill Hicks. And the way he sets up that punchline with the coo, it's just so amazing because for some reason I didn't see it coming. And the way he said that word and talks about the anti-Castro people that were seen in the bars, which is something that they say about that time when JFK was in town, it really makes you realize that is probably what it was. It was a coup by probably many groups that didn't like JFK, and primarily probably the what we call now the deep state and the military-industrial complex led by Lyndon Johnson and his cronies, a lot of them on the Warren Commission. And with JFK out of the way, they were able, we all know through about this history, they were able to keep the war in Vietnam going and make tons of money, kill tons of people, which is what the Satanists want. And Satanism or devil worship goes all the way back. Remember from the first episode, it goes all the way back. So, you know, I know there's people who try to argue that Satanism is something that started in 1966, but it's always been here. It doesn't have to be named Satanism. It's the evil. The evil spirits, there's always been good versus evil. There's always been this grand conspiracy. It'll show up at any point in time, no matter what it's called. And in this point, it was behind the JFK assassination and these groups that conspired to have this man killed and to pursue their military exploits and war and death and destruction in pursuit of power. Remember, it's all about power. Lyndon Johnson had all the power after the JFK assassination. You look at the power shift and how people who acquire power through an event use their actions that they wouldn't have been able to take before. That is where you find the motive. And that is what is so overlooked in society because it's hard to quantify power. But it's interesting. So we left the museum and it was a lot of fun to see all that stuff. I got to hide behind the little pillar where the first person who identified where the shooting was coming from hid. It was a young black guy who was hiding behind a little monument down there, and he was pointing up at where the shooting was coming from the book depository building. So I got to crouch down in that spot where he was, and that was kind of fun. And there were memorials there, and the memorial said, "This town was built by Freemasons in so and such date." Now, this is really weird, and I haven't talked too much about Freemasonry, but I do kind of want to kind of explain everything I know about it at some point, even though I'm not a professional and I've never been to a meeting. I have been in a lodge at one point, and I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I feel like it's good information to pass on. I don't really want to talk about it too much now, except for saying, you know, we all know that they have secret hand gestures, secret symbols, and ways of identifying each other. It's a secret society. A lot of ritual, a lot of, again, the power climb. You got to check out Bill Schnoblin's talk about this. I feel like he sums up everything you need to know about Freemasonry in his talk. His book, Behind the Light of Freemasonry, has some more details, but I actually think that book gets a little bit too detailed into some certain things, that it kind of gets a little boring and long, but there's a lot to say about that. It's a secret society, and they're saying that this town was formed by the secret society, which is really weird. So, I mean, you would think that they're really proud about the secret society forming this town. You would think that those people, multi-generational secret society members, are living there and probably still running and controlling the town. And they were probably running and controlling the town when JFK was assassinated. So there's all those connections, and it's just so bizarre and unfortunate, and just seemed too real, spending 3 days in Dallas. Now, after that, we went to this really, I don't know why it is how it is, but there's this big, I think it's called the Big Red Building, and it's some kind of library or government building. It's right next to Dealey Plaza, and we went through there, and it was kind of weird. And then on the other side of that, there's the JFK Memorial, and this is really weird to me too. It's four walls with the corners open, and you walk in through the corners, and it's these four big walls. And the middle, there is a slab on the ground that's, I don't know, maybe a foot or less high, and it says John F. Kennedy on the slab. Now, this is an extremely weird monument to me. They said it was made by, I don't know, some French designer or something like that, to allow people to go in and have silence and be reflective. I don't think that's why it was built like the way it is. Maybe the silence part, but why would you build a monument to someone that you supposedly respect that is a slab a foot high that people are going to stand on and take pictures of them standing on? We saw people doing that. I'm sure people do that all the time because it just asks for you to get up here and stand on the monument because it's just built like that. It's a step. Naturally want to step up on a step. If you build a step for them and say this is a special step, that's what they're going to do. And I'm sure the designers knew that's what they were going to do. And I'm sure the designers wanted to honor Dallas, who was involved in this conspiracy, and say, here, we're going to make a monument to the man that we successfully killed, and it's going to be one that disrespects him because people are going to walk all over him just the way that we did. And the four walls seems to me almost like walls of secrecy. It's doing something to what's in the middle of this monument, JFK, in secrecy. It's in closed doors practically, where you can see in, but it's keeping everything out and keeping that isolated in. So it's a really weird monument to me. So basically, you know, we had another day and we spent some more time in Deep Ellum. That was about it for the trip and all the craziness. I guess I'm kind of taking the episode out here, and I just want to kind of say a few more things about our journey. So we saw the JFK Museum. Before that, we had the crazy night with the cops and the
pedophile Illuminati hangout and the hookers in the room next door that I might have, it might have just been a kind, normal family that I harassed. It might have been people allowing strange men to have sex with their children. Maybe. Who knows? Who knows what happened there? I don't. You can make your own judgment for that. And then we made our way to the JFK Museum, hung around Dallas, saw a lot of symbols. And on our last day before we headed out, a couple more things we did. So we went back to Deep Ellum. It wasn't quite as fun as the first time because, you know, it wasn't nighttime and there wasn't as many people partying. But I did notice a lot of things. I noticed, you know, there's so much red paint. You know, red, the symbol of blood, the human sacrifice. There were so many Illuminati symbols. And I realized there was a lot of these warehouses, kind of empty warehouse buildings that are completely covered up that you can't see into, and they all have security cameras. So it's pretty, you know, kind of shady and sketchy. Who knows what could be going on in there at certain times. You know, you could make it very exclusive and closed off to the public. One last thing that was crazy while we were in that area, we walked by someone and we overheard them saying at the end of their sentence, which was, "And that's why there's witches in Dallas." So I'm not the only one. I'm not the only crazy one. I'm not the only one that thinks that this kind of stuff is possible and goes on and that there are signs of it in Dallas. Someone else thinks that too. And if you go there and you know what you're looking for and you look for the signs, I'm sure you're going to see it too. So let's just take us out of this adventure. We were waiting for our plane. We were going to a movie theater to kill some time. We passed by this billboard that I thought was very strange. It showed a sad child and it said, "Abused children can't wait." Now you can read that a couple different ways. Abused children can't wait for you to save them, or abused children, I can't wait to abuse them. It's really weird. You know, the double entendres out there, the evidence of all this stuff coming up. We went to a movie theater, and it was a kind of a crazy movie theater. Very small, very infinite, very intimate, very private. At one point, I went to the bathroom, and there was a kid in the bathroom, probably 6 or 7 years old. And I just, you know, did my business, washed my hands, and left. And he left and ran past me to the movie theater that he was going to when I was leaving. First off, I thought it was weird to allow a kid that age to go to the bathroom themselves. Then, as he was running into the movie theater, he turned around and he looked at me. And he just gave me this look where it looked like kind of like, I'm checking you out to see, kind of scared to see, are you a monster? You know, because I'm sure these kids have to deal with a lot of that kind of stuff. Men who are really monsters and who prey on them. And I just kind of gave him a smile and was just like, "Oh, buddy, I hope you make it. I hope you make it okay." And it was just a weird thing, the way he looked at me and ran into the movie theater and the way that he was unattended in the bathroom. And I couldn't wait to get out of there. And so I got on the plane, got back, you know, and made it out of Dallas. But there was just so much evidence of Illuminati activity there and strange things and the JFK assassination. It was quite a journey. It was quite an adventure. And I could not wait to get back to California and away from that Illuminati area. So that's it for this podcast. I managed to keep it not too long, about an hour and a half, but that's it for today. My closing advice is to keep a bottle opener on your keychain. That's good. Memorize your driver's license number. I can't believe it when people don't know what that is. And you know, stay mentally healthy. Keep kicking ass. Subscribe. Oh, I'm definitely probably going to have to change this podcast to explicit after this one, after some of those swear words. But, you know, do what you do. Do what you do. Do what you do. And keep on rocking.